IVM.
Hello there.
Hi.
We are recording in a different time of day today. It's not the middle of the night,
but
so
the lights in our room say different. I have stream lights. You have a beautiful lamp.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. So
how's
Well,
okay, don't answer.
Yeah, let's not.
Got it. That's the answer. Sometimes someone's like, "How are you?" I'm like, "Huh?"
let me debut my baby.
All right, that was Gaga for everyone. Okay, so let's get into it. Our first segment, which is TikTok. What I want to talk about is, and this is a little bit of a primer for next week, all the Drag Race fans. What I'm really marveling at is how big an empire this has become. Because in recent news, if anyone who wasn't living under a rock, you would know that Drag Race now has an Australia version. And for me, that's just the power of the medium. And it's not just about equating the art form of drag to just Drag Race, because there are many other forms. But I think that's a great thing, because also slowly, gradually, what's going to happen, what is happening is the Drag Race counterparts have more and more sort of inclusive representation. I mean, in America, we have a trans man in this season. In a lot of the others, you have, for example, Drag Race Thailand. You have trans queens, bio queens. You have all different kinds.
I mean, until you said it right now, I did not know there was a Thai edition of
RuPaul's. That's crazy. The fashion.
And is RuPaul a part of all of them, or these are different
judges? No, so it's syndicated, but RuPaul's not part of, let's say, Thailand. But it's crazy because the kind of creativity you see there is also, it's like they set themselves on fire while walking down the runway. Like it's some other level of, you know, artistry.
Production.
But yeah. And I think that's just amazing news, because I know this is not about Drag Race, but just something that is so innately queer and, you know, make is getting, is becoming such a big empire. It's like Disneyland, you know, like it's just spawning different versions of itself. And I think that's just great news. I love that. I'm really happy.
My personal Drag Race journey has been very random, because I never watched Drag Race until the pandemic started last year. And suddenly I binged like, I remember season 5 to season 10, I went zoop, like TV on, back-to-back Drag Race, Soja, TV on, back-to-back Drag Race, Soja. That was my life. And it was great company in the beginning of the lockdown. I really kind of, had I still attempted it after all these years in a non-lockdown environment, I don't think I would have. But because it was so, you don't need to focus too much. It's a stupid, fluffy show. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I kind of stopped at season 10 again. I've not watched, what season is this right now?
13.
Oh, so I've not seen 11, 12, 13 again.
But it's crazy because it's just US.
Yeah.
There's a Canada's Drag Race. There is a UK. Sure.
Are they all just as good? Like,
I think UK is even better. Canada was better than a lot of the US seasons.
So also I'm excited. Now that we are back to square one in terms of the pandemic, I'm like, wow, again, I have 3 seasons to binge watch.
Yeah, true.
So that's something I look forward to doing. I was thinking about this yesterday. Like, hey, now that you've got a great TV and, you know, again, it's like going to be crazy. It's a good time to watch.
Yeah, watch that. That lurid pink on your television.
Oh my God. One of the reasons I used to not watch Drag Race is because of like the seizure inducing colors.
Yeah. It's crazy.
But okay, we'll do a proper, we still owe everyone a solid Drag Race episode.
For a while.
Yeah. I wish we would have done it when I was into it back last year, because back then I knew everyone's names. Now, if you ask me, I just literally remember Bianca Del Rio, because she's the one I love the most. And, one or two here and there, but I don't know who won, who lost. I forgot everything.
Well, that's Drag Race.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do our main segment. Yeah. And we'll see you on the other side.
Yeah.
Huh.
And what are we talking about?
I wanted to talk about, again, as we all know, in terms of coronavirus, we are back to ground, like, what is it? Ground zero? Back to square one.
Square
sorry,
one.
Ground zero. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. We are back to square one. And apparently worse than we ever were. So, I don't know, right, what's going to happen over the next few months. But there was something in specific I wanted to talk about today, which was what it means to be isolated and locked down, which we have been for a year. But what it means, like, has it now kind of, there has been a shift in the way we look at all the communications we have online, especially in the gay universe, you know what I mean? In the LGBTQ space, because there are a few changes I've started noticing in, the thing is, first, initially, when the pandemic started, my relationship status, okay, there was no relationship status, but I constantly kept thinking that, oh, I'm very happy alone, and I'm very okay being solo, and, you know, I'm okay in life. I don't need anyone right now. Then somehow some kind of yearning started in the lockdown because of the lack of basic human touch, no hooking up, no sex, nothing. And that kind of factored into the kind of conversations I was starting to have. I felt like there was a certain depth that came into a lot of conversations, a certain kind of this. And now that we are after a year at the brink of another extended isolation, pandemic, quarantine, I don't know, all of those things, I just wanted to kind of have, again, there's no like topic as such. I just wanted to know what it meant for us to be living as gay people on Grindr, on Tinder, on what is it like chatting with friends now, you know? Do you think has there been some kind of a change in quality in any way that
interact
with other people in your life?
Yes, a little bit. I'll give you an example. Sure. I think it also comes from being, I'm just like really aware of the situation that we are in. And I know that, you know, it's not possible, especially my, you know, the building that I live in, and this is, I'm talking about last year, was extra sort of, you know, strict about its guidelines and not letting people in and stuff like that. I was really realistic about the fact that I'm going without meeting anyone for a bit. Mm. And as a result of that, see, the thing is, small talk makes sense when it kind of, when you know that there is a direction that this will go in. There is a not really destination, but at least there's a path forward. Mm. But if I knew that, if I know that, especially on a place like, on a platform like Grindr, it's so temporal and it's so sort of non-committal overall.
But that's the thing, because the nature of these apps is so temporary. Now that it's not looking temporary because of how much we resort to them.
No, so for me, what ended up happening was that I knew that I'm anyway not meeting this person. Mm. So if I'm not meeting this person, what's the point? So if there isn't a point, and by meeting, I don't necessarily just mean sex. I won't even be seeing this person face to face. For me, that's important, you know, like let's grab a drink together or something like that. Mm. So my interactions were very limited. Like it wasn't facetious. It was just, I was just keeping a guard.
Yeah.
So I would have a conversation. If I would go to Grindr, I would have a conversation about, oh, how's your day? Mm. And how are you coping with stuff? And then it wouldn't move further because I knew that this isn't going to go somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
So it would stop there.
Yeah.
So was this... Your experience was different.
I felt this too. And that's the thing. In some degree or the other, all these things we felt in some way or the other, you know, exactly what you said, I've gone through that. For me, I felt like what started happening was, or what I'm noticing lately, back then I felt like I was in a space where you aggressively start chatting with someone for like 3 days, 4 days, a week, 2 weeks maybe, and then it fizzles out, it happens again with someone else. That was constantly happening. But lately, now that this has seemed like the long haul and it has been endless, this whole thing, and we are nowhere close to finding some sort of closure yet, I feel like now what happens is, A, I instantly know what to spend my energy on, which chat windows to spend my energy on. This is literally in context of just talking to strangers online. I kind of know how much energy to spend. And the ones who are kind of fun to talk to, that fizzling out is not happening. Where I voluntarily want to message them, hey, what's up? We've not spoken in 2-3 days. Nahi toh kya hota tha? 2-3 days baat nahi kiya, okay, chalo, slowly. I would forget their name even because I hardly know them, right?
Yeah.
2-3 days we spoke every, what do you do? What do you eat? Wow, you cook, wow, I got a cat too, all of that. But lately I feel like I am starting to find new people who I kind of share music with, who I kind of share dick pics with, whatever, like that kind of, it's got a new quality to it, I have to say, just because this, we said the term new normal so many times last year, but now we are in the thick of the new normal. Like, so I feel like it has definitely added that kind of a tinge to all the conversations I've been having online, at least, or the way I'm interacting with anyone has entirely changed.
I mean, for me also, what's happened off late, and I'm talking about like a month or so into 2021, I think the gap in the middle where we got to meet people, that allowed me to kind of forge very interesting and I wouldn't say deep, but burgeoning relationships with people. And what ended up happening was, has happened now, is that what you were saying, there is a depth to our conversations, people who, and what's happened is that all of these people that I have sort of bonded with, live really like near my house.
Lucky. Yeah.
So as a result of that, there are things like, you know, just when I'm taking some, you know, my dog out for a walk, walk together at night, for example, just walk for a bit and then come back and just have a conversation while we are doing that. And we bond over different kinds of topics. There's someone who I bond with over, cinema. There's someone who I bond with over being sort of non-resident bongs, Bengali guys.
Sorry, what? Non-resident what?
Bongs. You don't know the term bong? Bong is...
No, I know bong, but you said something non-resident what?
So there's this term called Probashi Bangali, which is basically, which means that you've been born up and raised in West Bengal. And if you... And non-Probashi, which is non-resident, is if you aren't. There is a distinct sense of kinship that I feel with non-Probashi, non-resident bongs, because I am one. And there is a very different sort of cosmopolitan outlook, I would say. Our tastes are sort of informed by things that we've soaked in as a sponge because we've been exposed to different cultures versus a resident bong who's very, very Bengali in everything. Like there is a lot more, the Bengali quotient is extremely high. So anyway, I did bonding with someone on that. There's someone who I bonded with on food. So what's ending up happening is that there is this sense of sharing and conversations, and not even, I wouldn't even say there is this conscious depth. I think it's just very freewheeling journey. Let's explore sort of a space that's happened, which also is bears testimony to the fact that we end up seeing each other a little more often now, like over once a week or once in 10 days, we see each other. We will like walk around, like we'll go for a walk in the evening, for example, stuff like that. Okay. And that's stuff that I don't think I would have explored. I would have been very, very guarded for me. It would have been my house or nothing.
Yeah.
And it's so weird. It's,
It's, and you know, one of the main reasons I wanted to have this conversation is because, and I'm myself surprised that I'm feeling like this, but there have been boys in my life who I kind of have hooked up with, spoken to a lot at some point, but it kind of fizzled out and they somehow emerged or resurfaced in this whole lockdown process. And suddenly I feel like, why did I not explore this? Why did I not talk to him back then? Why? And I wouldn't have brought this up if this was a one-off case. Mm. But I feel like there are about 3-4 people right now where I'm like, wow, I would date you in a heartbeat. Mm. Like, what the fuck? Why did I? And again, I'm not saying that, oh, it was all my fault. Or, you know how these things are?
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way to describe how the gay world or anything works in it. But like, it's a feeling that happens so many times. And lately, I'm just constantly like, wow, I have feelings for this guy. Like, and why did I never reply? Why did we fall out of touch? It's happening a lot. And it's quite a confusing feeling, I have to say. And it's a sad feeling also. I've been feeling a little sad because more often than not, these people, these boys that I'm talking about are now in their hometowns too, because of they are work from home and whatever. The uncertainty of knowing that, will I meet them again? Will I not meet them? Because I myself, I'm in a different city now. You know, so that kind of shit is a little bummy lately. And and again, I keep coming back to like, well, none of this would have actually happened, or I would have felt had the pandemic not happened. And if there are any insights in this, I don't know if there are any insights, but now I at least know what it requires to have a meaningful conversation, which
I've actually faced something not similar, but what's happened with me is that one, if there is a distance barrier that I'm facing where I'm clear that, you know, this person stays really far off and I possibly won't even meet this person like anytime soon. Maybe it's a factor of also work being overwhelming and, you know, it's very tiring in terms of work hours and stuff like that. I just give up. Unless the distance part is taken care of, I end up giving up. Like I know
I started... By taken care of, you mean like, oh, this person is close by or in the city? Not like...
Okay. No, not even in the city. It's the close vicinity. And if it's not close vicinity, I end up feeling like, chodna, that's the point. At least, like, pick this up later. And I think will I pick this up later? Maybe, yes, I will. But as of now, it just feels like, oh my God, this is overwhelming. Like, I don't want to get into this. I don't want to kind of, kya hoga? At least till like May end. To,
that's something I feel sometimes.
So I have almost compartmentalized them in the afters folder. You know, is a... Like
others inbox.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll approach it once I... know that things are slightly better.
Sorry, having run this podcast, I have to say that the others inbox suddenly has different meaning. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but so many of the messages, because we get from people who we don't follow or are not like in our follow us, they just message us.
Yeah.
I sometimes keep forgetting to go to the others folder and then I go there. Dude, can I tell you something? So offensive almost. I got a message saying, huge fan of GayBCD, love you and Shunetro, blah, blah, blah. I was like, thanks so much for listening, all of that. And then he said, hey, can you... this is a little weird for me to say, but I'm going to say it, okay? This guy then said, hey, by the way, my mom has not been keeping well. So if I send you a fundraiser, can you talk about it on the show? Okay. And I said, I don't know if I can talk about it on the show, but if you want, I can obviously share it on my story. He said, wow, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Would love that. By the way, are you a top or a bottom?
Nice segue.
And I was like,
nice segue.
Yeah,
nice segue.
Itna matlab seedha kya? Mom is not well. I'm seeing like this intense Kickstarter type, you know, medical certificates.
The sun's so beautiful. Are you tough or bottom? Like, hello.
Yeah, man. It was. And then I obviously went radio static silent and immediately, sorry, did I offend you? I did not mean to offend you. Can you share the story now? And I'm like, okay, what? But okay, sorry. I have a question for you. Are there any, speaking about making online connections, what it's like in this whole overdrawn pandemic now, is there a certain app that you find yourself using a lot more or using it differently or anything like that?
I think Hinge has been more amenable to the idea of deeper conversations, like over a Grindr, over a Tinder.
Because
the it's about the target audience. Yeah. Like, you know, on a Grindr, I question some people. Like, I question in the sense I don't respond because there are people who are asking me, like, today, in the middle of the workday, I just opened Grindr and then there was these ting, 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 these messages. Are you free? Like, home, this, that. And I'm like, kaise, boss? Kaise? Like, hello?
You know,
kaise? Kaise hoga?
It sometimes feels like, it's like, you know, it's like buying pot or weed, you know? Grindr is that bad dealer you know you can always count on to score from. But your good contacts are very... you just end... Because sometimes if I had to say in terms of like success rate, Grindr still works the most, you know? It still works the most. But like you rightfully said, for me, it's the Hinge, it's the Bumble. Bumble is one thing. It's somehow... I don't know how, but it fosters some kind of, maybe it's because, and even Grindr has these features, right? Like I can see what kind of music the person listens to. Even Tinder has that, your Spotify can be connected and all of that. But I don't know. I just feel like kitna bhi karo, how much also you hate Grindr, end me, it's Grindr.
It's the old faithful. I mean, sure.
Exactly. And it gets very irritating. Yeah. Like sometimes, and same here. I have to say, like, I literally, and I've said this so many times, so forgive me if I'm repeating this, but for me, Grindr is like, you know, it's late in the night, okay? It's 3 o'clock. You suddenly find yourself getting hungry, yeah? And you know there is nothing in the fridge. You know there is nothing in your food, in your fucking pantry, nothing. But you still go ahead and open all those things. I already see Grindr is exactly that, you know, like so many times I just, why do I open it? I'm not going to act on any of these things, but still. And lately, again, if it comes down to connections, I feel like I've to been, even people I would never chat with wouldn't respond to. I just like play along with like, chale, kya bol raha hai, kya dekh.
Yeah, I just haven't. Like for me, I just haven't played along in the past couple of months because like I said, you know, if vicinity and connection is something that I'm looking for, then if both, unless both of those sort of tick the boxes, I karke kya hoga? Theek hai na? But like we'll come to a day. There will be a day when we will experience.
If it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
No. As in there will be a day when we will get to a point where all of this, these frivolous is not.
Yeah, I get like it.
It's a judgmental word.
Yeah.
We'll get back to what we used to do. Yeah. You know, random conversations and stuff. But now, abhi there are obstacles, so might as well play along with the obstacles.
I don't know why I just got banned on Hinge. As in, no, nothing. And I'm telling you, I'm actually a very well behaved person on these apps, but just one day I get a message, sorry, your account has been locked, and ever since then I've just not been able to use it.
Wow.
I kind of miss it.
Some vindictive person reported you or something. I
have no idea what I did. At least Tinder, I know
that is
why.
So weird.
Yeah, just never. Even right now, sometimes just when I miss it, I open it to see now have they let me in, but no, nothing. And then I'm not one of those people who's going to go to the send feedback or, you know, then I feel sad. Like, okay, you're not there in life, at least, you know, where you need to kind of have that kind of conversation. But kya hai, kar deta hai.
What about, you know, let's move away from these relationships that are lust and whatnot.
Yeah.
But have your conversations changed with, let's say, family or friends?
That's such an important... It's funny, when I was away and stuck in Bombay, I suddenly started having these very deep, intense conversations and all. But now that I'm back to where I, in those conversations, I've gone back to being zero patience, no this. And even with friends, I've noticed something, which is the ones who I would meet regularly, and there was not a lot of catching up to do. Right. We would just, when we meet, we'll catch up. Yeah. Even those friends, now that the timing of us meeting has suddenly drastically increased, I feel like, you know, them, it's a different dynamic to suddenly talk to these people in on a phone call or via chat or WhatsApp, whatever it is. But there is definitely a sort of is it a paradigm shift? I don't know. But there is some sort of a sidestep that has happened. And it is apparent for me. Have you felt that with your friends and stuff?
So with friends, what's happened is the ones that matter. I mean, this
how
is
many?
So mean.
How many? If you had to say, how many matter?
Within the number 15, like, you know.
Whoa, that's a lot.
I know, but also I don't have individual friends. I have circles, like I have cliques.
Okay.
So I have a work clique. I have a Calcutta College clique. Cliques. Yes, huh. And I have a Pune College clique. So that's like three cliques. Okay. So then I have an ex-work clique. So like 3-4 people to har cheez mein hota hi hai. So, so odd, like I would say, but engaged, like deep conversations, I would say around 7-8 people. Okay. Those conversations are often. Those conversations are deep and often. Yeah. And we make time for it because all of us are in the same boat right now. We are all craving for that kind of familial support, you know, because all of us are, especially my college, like Calcutta College circle, we are all in different cities. Like someone's in Dubai, someone's in Hong Kong, someone's in, you know,
this is even
Houston.
Before the pandemic.
Basically. Yeah.
Y'all were already in different cities.
Yes. And and so now it's just that we are so, like, during the pandemic, we started talking to each other, and over time it's become a routine. And it's like, we become like family. We discuss anal fissures, like, you know, this, like, it's that close, like, are, you know, ye hua, this kind of stuff. So, and it's just become like warts and all family conversation
fissures and all.
Yeah. And there are times when we are also just on video call and we are just chilling. And
I have mad respect for people who can do that. For me,
I never thought I could.
No, for me, it's just there are so many video calls that I have to do in a work sense that I cannot. I just can't do it with my friends and stuff. In fact, so much so that I can't. I just can't. It's freaking irritating. But I guess that pretty much covers. Not covers, but yeah, I just wanted to have like a point. It's just something I wanted to kind of process. And
I
felt like a lot has been happening in this. What kind of conversations am I having online? Suddenly all of them hold value. And I was like, why do they hold value? And I wanted to kind of back and forth with you on that. So thanks as always.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure kind of scratching beyond the surface, beneath the surface. And
oh my god, can I tell you something? I'm actually like one of those dogs that if you hit a certain spot on my shoulder blade, my leg actually twitches a bit. I'm not kidding. I'm one of those
people. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So that's our second segment of the day, which is Big Talk.
Hmm.
And we'll be right back with our recommendation section, which is Small Talk.
Okay.
All right, we are back, and here's our last segment for the day, which is Small Talk, which is recommendations from our end, things that we love. Okay, so I actually don't want to recommend a show or a book or a piece of culture, so to say, like you know, something to consume that way. I literally want to talk about something to consume because it was the early new year, and there is a combination that I don't think the rest of India has tried before. So us Bengalis, we...
Beef and pork together.
So there's this combination that I don't think I think people are missing out on it. And it's this classic, like, sweet and savory thing sort of meshed together. Actually, I'm going to talk about two combinations. Combination number one, which is something that we have during every single festivity, which is we have a lot of chutneys. Like we have tomato chutney or khajur ka chutney. And it's like, it's unlike a murabba. It's fairly sort of liquidy. And we have that with like an oil fried papad. Which is savory. So that combination is something I would urge because everyone has...
Wait, what's it called? What are these things called?
papad and chutney. So basically, yeah, like it's papad, any kind of papad. So we usually have dal papad or rice papad. Dal papad is more, you know, more common for us. So I think that combination is just something that we really, really, it really works for us. And I think everyone should chance upon that. It's one of those hidden treasures that I don't think people have discovered. So try making tomato chutney or like meetha chutney, okay? Meetha chutney or khajur ka chutney or pineapple ka chutney, just which has a lot more ras in it, like it should be liquid, and have that with an oil fried papad. That's my recommendation.
I don't know how to
recommend. I'll tell you why, because I was talking to a couple of friends. And these are people who've been in the vicinity of Bengalis forever, and they still haven't tried it.
And it's common knowledge. Oh, papad chutney. Common knowledge.
It is papad chutney. Yes, yeah.
Okay, this is the first time I'm hearing of.
That's like the closing. Within our feasts, our bhogs, where baith ke khana hota hai, that's like our dessert.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not like, with alcohol, like chakna type.
No, this is what you round your meal with.
Amazing. Okay, now I have to be in the same way. So I will talk about a random combo that I don't think a lot of people But I find chocolate and salt.
Which is amazing. I absolutely love sea salt
like
and chocolate.
The older I've gotten, I felt like cakes and chocolates that kind of go into the... Is your mouth watering?
No, okay.
I thought you gulped. I just felt like, especially again, I don't know if anyone in Pune is listening to this. We have Cake Encounter, which is popular for just one cake of this. They literally just sell this one cake, okay? And that cake is like the cake. Like, you know how all cities have that one, not your not obviously popular Monginis or whatever, even those are not, or Theobroma and all.
Everyone has
that one Chotu cake shop that you grew up on, all your school may growing up birthday cake, so that cake. So we have Cake Encounter here, but I always felt like, wow, chocolate and salt is a classy fucking combo.
In fact, of course it is.
You know, my friend came back from Africa. This is before the pandemic. A little before the pandemic, he had gone to Africa. He got me chocolates from Ethiopia. And first of all, I did not know Ethiopia makes the best fucking chocolates in the world. We always hear Belgium and, you know. Oh my God, Africa is like the chocolate fucking mecca.
Yeah.
And secondly, I had a pepper mango chocolate. You know, first when you see, hear those three words together, you're like, are you sure?
Maybe it won't work.
You know what I mean? It's seriously one of the best things I put in my mouth. And again, what made it so good was they said pepper mango chocolate, but they did not write sea salt. And it also had sea salt in it. And it was divine. Like literally one of those, you know, where your eyes roll back into your head when you put a piece in your mouth.
So the first time I'd had it was a Lindt sea salt, Lindt Excellence, which is dark chocolate. It is just beautiful. And for me, as I'm growing older, you know, simplicity of flavors and combinations that's what works for me.
Yeah. Wow. So papad chutney and chocolate salt.
Yes.
Is this week's recommendation. I guess we'll wrap up.
Yes.
On that sweet note. Thank you so much, Shunetra.
Pleasure talking to me.
Thanks to everyone who's listening. We'll see you guys next week again.
Yeah.
I hope we see you guys now, considering we are a video podcast. And a lot of people have been, hey, you all have not been putting a podcast. And I'm like, no, we are on video now. We are doing better than before. So shut the fuck up and see us on YouTube. And love you. Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye.